Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Welcome in Monday afternoon, Danny and Dusty. It is a Danny and Rusty edition as the brand man doing brand man things ahead of the Fan Golf Classic and changes abound here. Thank you for joining us. It was a weekend. That's certainly for sure.
It was a weekend
that did transpire. Shockingly, it's a solo show, which means heavy on basketball, but it's going to be heavy on basketball for a litany of reasons because the NBA up, down, everywhere in between. But before we dive into that, because there's been some good, some bad, some interesting, honestly, a lot of bad. How was your weekend, man?
Not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just chilling?
What just chilling.
Yeah?
Yeah. Decided to, we got my kid, my 13-year-old daughter, she's been begging to go to a concert, like just basically any concert.
Oh, lately. Okay. So, first concert appearance?
Yeah. Reached out to promotions here, and we're going to go see Bare Naked Ladies Thursday night at Edgefield.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So and she's super excited
the
for
weather,
that.
The weather will be nice out there.
Hopefully, yeah. I introduced her to some of their music. She's like, I like them.
Yeah, that's a solid show. Yeah. It's a solid first show. The first show I ever went to, I was 12 years old. It was like a live-in concert, Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
So
it's okay. My first concert was MC Hammer.
Yeah, like the actual like first music concert I went to, I'm not sure, and again, this is nothing against my parents, was either Ice Cube when I was 15.
Yeah.
Or, God, there was another rock show. Oh, Rob Zombie, when they were White Zombie.
Gotcha, yes.
13, I think. 13 or 14. I can't remember like how close together those two were. So, first concert, right, you know, like for first real concert, you know, it's a rite of passage, man. You go out there, you kind of get what it's all about and check that out. I did the exact opposite. I did not go out and do anything. Well, it's not true. I did some yard work. The electric mower biting me in the butt still.
Yeah.
That's a problem. But I movied pretty hard this weekend.
Right on.
I was solo dolo for a little bit this weekend. Wife taking care of some stuff, and I watched movies that I didn't think she would have a ton of interest in. We talked about a little bit, that movie Warfare, the A24 movie.
Okay.
So I finally got around to watching that. And, you know, maybe not the best type of movie to talk about, considering, you know, current world events and all.
There is that.
But Paulina in sales, she was not what I would consider the target market for that movie. Sweet as could be, but again, just not what I would typically go, yeah, you know, this movie's for you. She saw it in the theater and she was like, I want to hear what you say about this because I was blown away. We went and saw it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally got around to watching it. Wife was a little about it because boy, is it gritty.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give anything away, but the opening scene was the most military ass opening scene I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, yep, that captured that just about perfect. And if you haven't seen it or you don't know what it is, it's a retelling of just a day for a SEAL unit in Ramadi in 2006. And they have those guys that were in that unit giving feedback. And it's all basically from their memory. And it's basically a door-to-door sweep, very similar to what we did in Fallujah the year before in 2005, which was unabashed hell. For those that don't know, we basically cleared out the entire city of Fallujah and dropped leaflets that said, get the bleep out of town. If you're still here when we come, we're going to consider you a threat type of situation. Not a great place to be.
No.
Very similar a year later in Ramadi. Not quite as nasty, but still pretty high up on the oh crap scale.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they did a lot of it in real time. So when they get in a tick or troops in contact and they get in a firefight, you know, they call for an evac. It's 10 minutes out, 10 mics out. And from the time of that call till they get there, it's 10 minutes in the actual movie.
Oh, gotcha.
It makes you understand what 10 minutes really feels like in that situation.
Right.
So it's all, the whole thing, it's like an hour and 40 minutes, but it's all real time. And this isn't like a big plot movie. Like, you don't get introduced to characters and understand them and their arc and all this kind of stuff. It's like, here's guys, here's what happens, the end. And it's very interesting. Like, it just stops. You don't get, like, quote unquote closure to anything. It's just, here's what happened.
It's just over.
In this period.
Mm-hmm.
And it is gritty. It is rough. It is nasty. It is tough to watch if you are not. And again, it nothing can capture that reality.
Right.
But it's the closest thing I've seen come to that. It's very good. So if you're into that sort of thing, highly recommend it. If it's the kind of thing that makes your skin crawl and you want nothing to do it, do not watch it. Do not watch it. And then I doubled down the next night and watched The Amateur, the Rami Malek film, when he's the CIA codebreaker who goes full psychopath. And it feels, what was that movie with Gerard Butler where he has like all of the heinous ways that he kills the people that killed his wife and kid.
Jamie
Foxx, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of that. It's right. Like, it's something of like innocent by, no, not innocent,
law-abiding
citizen. Law-abiding citizen. Yeah, there that's it. Yeah. Which, like, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's devious, but it's awesome. It's like that meets Jason Bourne.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of the vibe that I got from it. Didn't like the ending. The ending of it made me go, wah, 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 wah. I'm like, oh, we're really going to do this.
Right.
Come on, man. But that was basically my weekend. Yard work and movies. Just kind of chilling, getting ready. Actually, that's not true. Yard work, movies, and everything else in between was spent writing or on the phone talking about the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
Put up 4,000 words on Denny Avdia. I've got another big old chunk. Intel dump and the mock draft board and a couple other things that we'll dive into here in a little bit that should all be coming out tonight because tomorrow none of us are going to be here.
Right. Well, I will be here.
You will be here. I'm sorry. Sorry. You'll be here for a little while.
Yeah.
And then you'll pop out of this because we got the Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms tomorrow. I will be there from 6 in the morning till probably 7 at night. I will spend the majority of my time on the sixth hole. I'm already putting my foot down. I'm wearing the straw hat.
Uh-oh.
We're going straw hat out there.
Now, listen, we got to be careful with that because it's tough to go full dad mode when you're not actually a dad.
I know, but it's funny is this hat has sat in my closet.
Got some white Air Monarchs you're going to kick out there too?
And look, man, I'm just saying. I bought the hat in Mexico when my wife and I got engaged.
Yes, as white men do.
Yes.
Yes.
She hates that hat with a fiery passion of a thousand suns. She's like, oh my God. I grabbed it out of the closet yesterday, and I'm like, I'm wearing this tomorrow. She's like, have you worn that? Like, other than, like, throwing on your head just to joke around since we got back from Mexico? I'm like, no, it's 100% why I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be nice. It's supposed to be, like, 84, 85 tomorrow, depending on. Actually, let's do a live little Live little weather check here on air for tomorrow.
Yeah, see, and those are the type of hats that, yes, you always buy those in Mexico. You're like, oh, I look good in this. And like, I could rock this at home. And you rock the S out of it the entire vacation, and you get home, and it goes in the closet.
Well, the thing is, it's like, it's a tropical hat.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps the sun off of everything, and you don't have to wear sunglasses the entire time.
Hooray, beer!
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. I think I've mentioned this before. When I was on that trip in Mexico, we were in Puerto Vallarta, we went to a Cirque du Soleil sponsored show, and you take a boat about an hour and a half away to like this private island that either some holding company owns, and they have God knows how many generators on the island, but there's a restaurant that's carved into the cliffside. It's cool as hell. Like, it's unbelievable. It's literally like carved into the cliffside, and it, you know, all that, they have like nice tables, but it's like you're looking down on the ocean, like right below you. It's unbelievable. And they do this thing like later at night after the show, when you go have your dinner, they turn the lights on and all the ocean fish just come flying in. You can see dolphins and barracuda and just crazy stuff just everywhere. But we went out to the show out there. It was like 95 degrees with like 90% humidity. I sweat through literally everything that I had on. I'm just sitting there in this seat. Just, I had my hands on my lap and I had handprints on top of my shorts from how sweaty my hands had gotten, which I'm sure everybody's like, oh my God, it's gross. Yeah, no, it was gross. But that's like the last time that I wore that hat was at that dinner. And I'm just like, I wonder if there's still just like sweat just baked into this thing that will literally never come out.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's what you have to look forward to. Golf tournament, my straw hat tomorrow.
Yeah. Apropos of nothing, I just saw this roll across the old Twitter timeline. This comes from Anthony DiComo, who was a Mets beat writer for MLB.com and as seen on SNY and MLB Network. He says, for those asking, yes, new Mets reliever Richard Lovelady has requested to go by his nickname Dickie. So it will be Dickie Lovelady from here on out.
He wanted to go with Dick. He wanted to so bad. You know he wanted to.
Dickie Lovelady is almost better.
Shouts to that guy. Lean into it. Right. Richard. No, you're Dickie. You're really Dick, but
oh man.
That's the way this one
is. Yeah,
that's
although I guess yes, Dick Lovelady would be a phrase.
Just
you know.
It's right up there with Grady Dick and Anthony Black doing the jersey swap. It's just Black and Dick. And I can say that because it happened.
Because it's somebody's name.
Because it happened.
Yes.
I saw a thing from a shot creator that tracked the top 150 rim finishers and sorted from worst to first kind of a deal. And the bottom four, so 150, 149, 148, 146 were Dick, Ball, Johnson, and somebody else. And I was just like... That's really, let me grab the actual order of this, because I retweeted this a little bit ago. Here we go.
Were they all sitting together watching Shaft?
It was young Dick Ball Johnson.
Oh man, I'm a child.
Just, you know,
yeah.
The fact that it worked out that way, young Dick Ball Johnson. I mean, you can't make it up.
Nope.
It's sorted by percentage. Like, it's just.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
If Anthony Black had been at the top of that list. Or in between Young and Dick.
Oh, my goodness.
It just would have made for some incredible, just totally unrelated content.
Yeah.
But let's get into the related content. The 2024-25 sports calendar officially came to a close last night with the Oklahoma City Thunder winning their first title in franchise history. There is a metric crap ton to take out of this game. We're going to start, though, giving the champions their praise here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio?
try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have won their first title in franchise history, knocking off the Indiana Pacers in Game 7 of the 2024-25 NBA Finals. And as I mentioned, this is the closing of the 2024-25 sports calendar, a 103-91 victory that saw the Thunder really just do all of their damage in one quarter. The game opened up as tight as they normally do in Game 7s. And we talked about this going into the weekend on Friday about it's going to slow down. It's going to be tight. Guys are going to be just huffing and puffing. You're going to feel the emotion, the intensity, and all of it. And you got it right out of the gate with Rick Carlisle coming to the podium and saying that you're probably going to see this video that's going to go viral of the Oklahoma City Thunder having their buses already made up for a championship run. And I didn't hear the video part of it. I saw a tweet like right as it happened that, you know, I saw the Thunder were getting ready to putting a championship parade buses already together. And that normally happens, but I was like, is this Rick Carlisle just like baiting his team? Like, they're painting the buses already. And I'm like, because I wouldn't put that past Rick Carlisle on for anything.
Bulletin board material.
Oh, God, yes. 100%. Yeah. It was like, well, you don't need anything more to play for a Game 7. I'm like, oh, you can always take more. You can, like, anything you can find, anything you want to do, you can go out there.
Yes.
And I'm like, ooh, this is spicy. And then I see the video and I'm like, ooh, all right, let's go. And we get out there and you can tell right away that the Thunder are tight and they are pressing. And it's like, oof, this is rough. Pacers look tight, but not nearly as tight.
Yeah.
And they look like they were a little more ready for the moment.
Well, and to be fair, the Thunder really had all of the pressure on them.
Yeah, because if you drop Game 7 at home,
I mean,
it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, and because even
you're the favorite,
and like, throughout the series, they're already talking about, you know, even today,
historic teams,
and, you know, is this the start of the dynasty? And so, yeah, they came out and they had all of the pressure.
The pucker factor was playing with
house money.
It was through the roof. And you look at how the Pacers start, particularly one Tyrese Halliburton, Halley, mid clock pull up three, bang. Comes down, Pacers score again. Next possession, Halley, deep three, bang. And you're going, oh, crap. He's pulling and he's going. And Thunder kind of are a little shell-shocked. They came out with their two big lineup. They go away from that. They go to Caruso. Caruso comes in, hits a couple shots, calms things down. Next time down the floor, Halley, 28 feet, bang. And I'm sitting there going, oh, baby, we're in for an all-timer. Halley is going to turn up. And you could just feel that, like, there was this groundswell behind the Pacers just rolling. And you're going, oh, buddy, this might be the sports story of my lifetime. A team that has had triumphant comeback after triumphant comeback after triumphant comeback after triumphant comeback. I say it four times because the man did it four times.
Yes.
And you're going, oh my God, with the calf strain, playing less minutes in Game 6, he's going to come out here and he's going to put it all on the line. He misses a three, comes down two possessions later, 7 minutes into the game. He goes to drive and he collapses to the ground. And in live action, I went, oh no.
Exact same. My wife was in the room. I just went, oh no. It's like the Pacers just lost.
It was just like, and he hits the ground and he slams his fist and he slams his fist and you can see the pain and you can see it on his face. And as soon as the play stops, they cut to the replay and you see the reverb in the calf.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, and things I can't say on the radio.
Yeah. I didn't even need to see the replay. I saw him go down like that. And I said to my wife, like, he just blew his Achilles.
You knew it, but as soon as you saw the replay,
yeah,
it was absolutely 100% confirmed.
Right.
We knew what it was. And I was gutted. Just absolutely gutted. And not just because it's game seven, but it's because that guy put it out on the line. And in a game seven, I'm not mad they let him play. I'm not mad that he played. This is, if there's ever a time when you do it, this is it. This is the one circumstance where I will go, if that guy says he can go, he can go. Because you never know when that opportunity is ever going to come up again. And I have to applaud the Indiana Pacers and how they rallied. Because the way they rallied around their guy was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, I remember being just stunned that, you know, they went into the half with a 1-point lead after that.
And that's it. And I think the injury shocked the Thunder more than it shocked the Pacers.
Yeah. Well, because I think maybe when it happened, between then and halftime, the Pacers, they're running on adrenaline.
That's exactly it. I think the adrenaline spikes. Pascal Siakam rallies the troops on the bench. Hey, our guy's down. We're not done. We got the lead. We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pacers outscore the Thunder 26-22, take a 1-point lead in the halftime.
And the win comes out of the sails.
And you're talking yourself into it. At least I am. I'm like, hey, man, they might do this. They might do this.
Mm-hmm.
Third quarter, Pacers unravel. And I think it's the emotion of it all. You get in the locker room for 15 minutes and you just
exhale.
It all comes out.
Yep.
The Thunder rally, and the only one who can score in the third quarter is TJ McConnell. And McConnell plays another magical third quarter. Does it again. But for 10 straight minutes, no one for the Indiana Pacers scores but TJ McConnell. Meanwhile, it's turnover after turnover after turnover. The Oklahoma City Thunder had 18 points off turnovers in the third quarter alone.
Is that bad?
That's the ballgame.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, Ben Mathurin had me believing for a little while in the fourth quarter. I was like, this man is just going to – he's not going to die.
Nope.
And credit to him and credit to the Pacers for not rolling over. But, boy, did Chet Holmgren have himself a basketball game.
Yes.
Offensively, it wasn't this giant masterpiece, but defensively, he was a dude. Finishes the game 18 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks, 6 of 8 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. But – he was sending everybody shot away. Even if he didn't get a block, he was altering a shot, and he got 5 blocks in 31 minutes, and he was just a demon. Every time you thought, you know, the Pacers get a stop, Chet Holmgren's there to turn it away. And they build this lead out, and they build this lead out, and they build this lead out, and you're going, oh, with Halley out, this is it. Shea did not have a great shooting performance. 8 of 27, 2 of 12 from 3, 29 points, but here's the kicker. 12 assists, 1 turnover. Had his best playmaking game maybe of his career. And the Thunder were not great offensively. They just capitalized on Pacer mistake after Pacer mistake after Pacer mistake. I mean, the Thunder ended up shooting 40% from the field, 27% from the three-point line. That's not a line that you expect to see from a winning team.
Right.
But they took care of the ball, only 7 turnovers to the 21 turnovers for the Indiana Pacers.
Brutal.
You're not going to win that game.
No.
Not like that.
Yeah.
And TJ McConnell, 7 turnovers.
Youch.
Aaron Nesmith, 6 turnovers. And the Pacers shot well from 3, 39%, but they needed more volume. They needed something else to compensate. And it just wasn't there for them because the Thunder took it away. Defensively, they were flying around. They were swarming. They were disruptive. They were just dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, without their guy, the Pacers did not have the capacity to put it all together. And so the Oklahoma City Thunder rightfully win a title. I don't think there's an asterisk here or anything along those lines. We'll talk about Halliburton here next and the implications and everything that comes along with that. But the Thunder cap off an incredible season, potentially the beginning of a dynasty. Well, those are all the talks you talk about with legacy. SGA becomes one of 4 players all time to win an MVP, Finals MVP, lead the league in scoring, and a title in the same season. Yeah. That list includes Shaq, Kareem, Jordan, SGA.
That's some pretty good company.
That's the list.
That's some pretty good company.
That's a hell of a season.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think SGA is the best player on the face of the planet.
No.
I don't. I still believe it's Nikola Jokic. But the season that he had was incredible.
Yes.
And he came up massive in the moments that they needed him. And by getting to 27 points last night, he had a 30-point average through the NBA Finals, which also a very short list.
Right.
What the Thunder have done and what they may continue to do going forward, we'll discuss a little bit later. But to me, and this is weird to say, even though the Thunder won the title, the biggest storyline coming out of this game in this series and the NBA at large this season is the devastating injury to Tyrese Halliburton 7 minutes into the game and the ramifications that is not going to have on the Pacers, but the NBA at large, including the Eastern Conference, particularly going forward. We'll dive into all that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Oklahoma City Thunder win their first title in franchise history, and unfortunately for them, and I do feel bad about this in a sense, they are not getting the level of praise and pomp and circumstance that only comes along with this because of a devastating injury 7 minutes into the game to Indiana Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton. And so we're going to work back to front here a little bit and then talk about the grand scheme part of this. This is Rick Carlisle following the game on Tyrese Halliburton.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped, but he will be back. I don't have any medical information about what may or may not have happened, but he'll be back in time, and I believe he'll make a full recovery. So he authored one of the great individual playoff runs in the history of the NBA with dramatic play after dramatic play. It was just something that no one's ever seen, and did it as one of 17. You know, that's the beautiful thing about him. As great a player as he is, it's always a team thing. And so our hearts go out to him, but so proud of everyone.
You can hear Carlisle fighting it back because he knows the implications of that injury and the months-long recovery and that they may never be back in this position again. And that's the God's honest truth, is that when you get there, it may be one and done for you. You never know when you're going to get back. Does anybody remember when the Phoenix Suns got to the NBA Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks? Where are they at now?
Right. Trading away Kevin Durant.
You just don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're ever going to be back there. And Pascal Siakam just talked about it. You know, in year three, he won a title as a role player for the Raptors. And he was like, I started to think, because it happened so young in my career, that it was just going to be a normal thing. And it doesn't happen. Like, it's just, for the vast majority of guys, you don't get back. That's just the reality. There's one winner every year.
Yep.
And there's only two teams that participate. And in the tunnel following the game, Tyrese Halliburton is sitting there on his crutches. And I'm sitting there watching the end of the game with my wife. And he is waiting for every single member to come off the floor. And I'm just sitting there heartbroken for him. And you can see TJ McConnell's mom in the tunnel when TJ finally leaves the floor. And his mom tries to shuffle away the camera. You can see her say, stop, stop. And ESPN, you can hear somebody like, oh, they can do it. And she's like, I don't care. Stop. Because she didn't want her son to be that, right?
Right.
And you can see Mama Bear being real protective in that moment. And
yes.
And I get it. I have no problem with what she did. The embrace that TJ and Tyrese had broke me and my wife. I'll be honest. Like, yeah. I'm trying to fight it back right now. I was just like, God, man. Because you just, all the things they work for. And you know that the uphill battle that Allie's going to have. It may have been the biggest gut punch in sports history for me.
Mm.
Like, even more than the Blazers blowing that game 7 against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't something that, it was something they could prevent.
Right.
It wasn't something that was ripped away from them because of some just horrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
They just didn't execute. That happens.
Yep.
That happens in sports. When Hallie goes out there and buries those three deep threes, and he's just, I mean, he's saying some out-of-pocket stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, for anybody who didn't catch it, he said a phrase that you don't say just in general, especially on a basketball court. It will start fights. And I was like, oh, this dude is here for this.
Yeah.
And the moment is not too big for him. And the way he's playing, the way he's moving, the swagger, the like I said, the groundswell and everything behind him in the Pacers, you're talking yourself into, the Pacers are going to win this bleeping game. And I'm sitting there going, this is Leicester City winning a Premier League title plus 5,000. Like, this is not supposed to happen. This right. is miracle. This is one of the great sports moments of my lifetime. That's what we're staring down the barrel at.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it snatched away, I feel god-awful. I can't imagine how Tyrese Halliburton and those Indiana Pacers feel. But then you start looking forward. And I want to say this real quick. ESPN showing the replay once, I get it. You show the replay once. We do not need to see his calf wobble and reverberate over and over and over again.
Yeah.
When you go to halftime and you say he's down, cut to him slapping the floor.
Right.
We don't need to see the calf again.
Yeah.
I get it. Everybody's like, we don't need to see Hallie on the floor anymore. Well, people are joining the game late. You got to show something.
Right.
I don't want it, but that is part of broadcasting.
Yeah.
But just...
Well, and their reasoning behind it is probably along the lines of, you know, it's not like it was a
compound fracture. This isn't Kevin Ware.
It wasn't Kevin Ware. It wasn't Sean Livingston.
No. You know? And again, we don't need to see the calf.
Yeah.
And we don't even really need to see Hallie slapping the floor. You can show him being, like, walked off.
Yeah.
Something.
Right.
But I get it. Everybody's, like, really frustrated about showing it over and over. Anytime we have any injury, I'm always of the mind of show it once.
Mm-hmm.
Add a word of caution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to show you. Might be difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Boom. When Nurk broke his leg on Outsiders, Joe Shane and I with the production staff, we made the choice to show it once.
Right.
And we all went, look, this is going to be really hard to watch. So if you don't want to watch, turn away. But we're going to show what happened once. So if you missed it, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to, but it was like, okay, you know, broadcasting journalistically, you need to show it once.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. We don't want to, but unfortunately, it's quote-unquote newsworthy. Okay? There's a lot that's going to come out of this. From the basketball side of things, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, Tyrese Halliburton. Three of the best players in the game, three of the best players in the Eastern Conference are likely all out for the next year. That means three playoff teams are without stars for the next year. You just saw the Orlando Magic look around and go, hey, with Dame and Tatum out, this is pretty open. We're going to trade for Desmond Bane. And now with Hallie out, you have three of your top eight seeds severely limited going into next year. The Eastern Conference is absolutely wide open.
And I saw somebody, they did a side-by-side pick of Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And it had, for the Eastern Conference, it was Internet Explorer and Google Chrome for the West.
I mean, the West is a beast. There was some foresight by the Indiana Pacers in their front office. Kevin Pritchard, Chad Buchanan, those guys. This was not a transaction that got a lot of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned it on Friday of it being a lot bigger than people thought. The Pacers traded their pick this year to the New Orleans Pelicans so they could get their 2026 pick back.
Yes.
You know what that tells you? They knew they were playing with fire.
Yeah.
in that something could happen. And I'm sure that is informed by looking at Dame and looking at Tatum.
Yeah.
And going, we need to protect ourselves here.
Yep.
Because.
Well, did KD start with a calf strain too?
They all do.
Yeah.
They all, Clay, they all do.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's if you, it, and that is actually a great segue, Mr. Rust.
I am a radio professional.
Coming up next, I reached out to a half dozen front office leaders in the NBA in the last 18 hours and asked them all some version of the same question. Am I crazy to think that a return to play protocol should be established in the NBA similar to concussions in that you have to clear hurdles in order to return to play if you suffer a calf strain because the devastating Achilles injuries are just getting too, just too much. They're just too much. And with where the NBA is right now, they have got to protect their product and they've got to protect the players from themselves. The answers that I got, we will dive into next here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
It's time for the Easy Play, brought to you by HomeZ, making home improvement easy.
End zone, deep out to right field. If it's fair, and it's going to be plenty fair, it leaves a dent in the scoreboard. Dom Canzone practically knocked it over.
Gotta love a good dent in the scoreboard. Aaron Goldsmith on the call for Root Sports. Canzone's second home run of the day, third on the season. The young man is raking. Pushed the Mariners up to a 6-4 lead. Donovan Solano also with a two-run shot on the day, up to three on the season.
Two home runs on the day, up to three on the season.
The young guys getting it done for the Mariners. Cal Raleigh now with his league-leading 31st home run, second-leading vote-getter in the AL All-Star voting behind only Aaron Judge. Took 2 of 3 from the Cubs, still 5 games back of the Astros because that's what it is. This Easy Play brought to you by Homesy. Use Homesy's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call Homesy. That's H-O-M-Z. Homesy.com. Following the third devastating injury to the Achilles tendon in this playoffs alone to incredibly high-level players, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, and Jason Tatum, I wanted to know if I was overreacting. And so I reached out to a half dozen front office executives in the NBA, and I asked them some version of, would you be in favor of establishing return-to-play protocols that mimic that of return-to-play protocols for concussions. And we have these, obviously, in the NFL and the NBA. And they're different baselines, different games, all those kind of things. But I was a little bit surprised when every single one of them came back with the same answer. Yes. Yes, they would be in favor of it. And all of them said with like the right precautions or the right science or, you know, the right protocols, and everyone agreeing on the right ones would be a difficult thing to navigate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I'm not against Tyrese Halliburton playing in game 7. If there's ever a caveat to this, ever, this is the one that exists. Like, if you want to put an asterisk in there of like, hey, I've got a dude who didn't pass the protocols, but it's game 7 of the NBA Finals, and he says, I'm going to go. Then, okay. Like, I get it. I truly do. But we have seen a spike that is just tremendous. And people are trying to wrap their heads around this. People much smarter than me. You know, doctors and scientists and data scientists and everybody that works in the H&P field in professional sports and particularly in the NBA is kind of looking at this like, what could cause this? Because you're looking at guys that are represented by 3 different shoe brands. So it's not like it's one shoe or something along those lines. We all know they all had calf injuries before. Ding, 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 ding. Like, again, that's the indicator. But, you know, people have talked about, well, in, you know, in the 80s and 90s, people were playing more minutes, which is true to an extent. Like, we load manage and do all those things, but guys play faster, harder, and they're bigger than they've ever been.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of these guys up and down the NBA, they're playing anywhere between 750 and 150 games a year before they get to the NBA. It's specialized training. There's no breaks. They're playing all summer. They're playing year round. It's nonstop. And you wonder if they're, with the exception of LeBron James, there's a finite amount of games the body can handle. Very similar to a finite number of carries in the NFL for running backs. We all know the shelf life. It exists unless you're Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Like,
who's just a freak.
Again, Derrick Henry, LeBron James, these guys that are just otherworldly monsters.
Yeah. Just outliers.
Those guys are just different. Like, LeBron James is going to the record he's going to set for games played, minutes played, and the level that he's playing at, like, they're never going to be touched again. No. Like, it's one of one type stuff. Like, it's just, it's really kind of freakish when you think about it, when just how much basketball he has truly played. It's disgusting. But I think the NBA really needs to take a real look at this coming up in the governor's meetings in Las Vegas. I'm not talking about looking at this in the future. I'm talking about looking at this now. Do owners, and here's the thing. When you hear about players being kept out or load managed, I'm telling you right now, it is not the coaches and the players. It is the front offices. Mm. Because of exactly this instance. They don't want devastating injuries to occur that build up over time, and it becomes a ticking time bomb. Particularly with soft tissue, when you're talking about hamstrings, calves, quads. Like those, the quads we haven't had as much, like that you talk about more knee stability and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But hamstrings popping, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Achilles popping, run down the list. Clay, KD, Dame, Halle, Tatum. Like, we're not just talking about like just dudes. We're talking about dudes
yes.
in the league and that have swayed NBA finals. If Jason Tatum doesn't get hurt, can the Celtics make a comeback? Probably not, but can they? It's on the table.
Yeah.
If Halle doesn't get hurt last night, could the Pacers win the game?
Absolutely.
Look, I am not trying to take away from the Thunder's title in any way, shape, matter, or form. They earned it. There's no asterisk, no nothing. I do believe if Tyrese Halliburton plays, the Pacers win.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
That's completely fair.
I did just, that is going to be one of my, you know, deeply held beliefs of like, Brandon Roy, the Marcus Aldridge, and Greg Oden, if they're healthy, they win one NBA title.
Yeah.
I believe in 2014 or 2015, they had those guys all been healthy, never had to deal with any of the nonsense, that's an NBA title in 2014-15. You can call me crazy. Those are like my what-if moments.
That's not crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. those are my what-if moments. This might go down as one of the biggest what-ifs ever. Because the way Halle was playing and the way that Pacers team was rallying, I'm looking at that going, buddy, I don't know if the Thunder can get out of their own way in time. And that is not a shot at the Thunder. That is a, holy crap, this is a sports story of a lifetime. And if they have the return to play protocol, maybe he doesn't play.
Right.
And we never get to know what it is anyways.
Yeah.
So, but he's not spending a year recovering. The Pacers aren't sitting there going, good thing we got our draft pick back because next year might be a little bit rough.
Yeah. Right. Ugh, man.
But I did find it very interesting that every single front office person that I talked to had said yes in some version or another.
Yeah.
That's pretty indicative of the way I think this might go. Because owners don't want to dole out $300 million to a guy and be on the hook for $50 million plus in a season that they don't play.
Yeah.
That's not, look, I don't care how much you're worth. It's not fun.
No, exactly.
Like, it's an investment that you're going, hey, yeah, no, you got this five-year car lease, but for one of those 5 years, you can't drive it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But I'm paying for it. Yeah, well, the thing about it is, that's just not how it works.
Them's the breaks.
It's like, oh, but the season's not getting shortened. Everybody talks about we need to play less games. That's just not going to happen. What I do wonder, though, is if you are held out for return to play protocols, mm-hmm. does that not count against your 65 game minimum to win awards? Because that'll be the thing, because yeah. man, this is where it gets dicey.
Yes.
What if a guy does suffer a very mild calf strain, but he's real close to coming back, but hey, if he plays 65 games, he's going to make All-NBA, and now he's going to have that kicker.
Yeah.
A devious team, and I'm not saying it would happen, but it opens the door of a team going, yeah, you didn't pass that threshold. We're not gonna let you return to play. And you're only playing 63 games, and now you're not eligible for All-NBA
right.
or All-Star or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, whatever thing that you would be – again, I think most organizations would want that because you want to reward guys. But it only takes one
yes.
to go, nah.
Yeah.
Because that's going to save us $120 million on your next five-year contract.
Right.
And that's, again, where it gets
a little sticky. A
little dicey.
Yeah.
So – I don't know what the cause of this is, why this has become such a you know, an epidemic, particularly to guys at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say players are more explosive than they've ever been. and the ask of them is more than it's ever been. And people talk about, well, it was more physical back then. I'm like, you guys need to get down on the floor and watch a game. Yeah, guys aren't getting clotheslined in midair, although it did happen too. Was that Mathurin? That Lou Dort jumped into him? Yeah, it was Mathurin late in the game that had Dort just jump into him in midair. And that man hit the ground like a sack of bricks. They even went to the replay and they'd stop talking. Like, we're going to let you hear the sound. And the sound was his body hitting the floor with an epic thud. And I was oof.
Eesh. Yeah.
Getting hit by Lou Dort in midair and then landing on your backside like that probably doesn't feel good.
No, I couldn't imagine that it does.
Hard pass on that. But even if you're saying, well, guys aren't getting clotheslined anymore, the distance they're running, the speeds they're running at, the size of players, they're just all bigger. They're bigger, faster, stronger, more explosive. Like, that's true of athletics in general. The science and the development, the H&P, the training, everything goes along into this. But it's becoming a problem. And it's one that the league, in my opinion, and what appears to be a pretty good, I would say, again, this is only a half dozen executives I talked to, but this is from six different teams mm-hmm. across the NBA. Pretty representative sample size of young teams, competitive teams, and teams at the top. Like, guys that think they have a chance.
Yes.
All said some version of the same thing. And I just found that very, very, very interesting, because if they're already thinking along those lines, you better believe those discussions are happening.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of discussions happening, one discussion came to a final close, and the NBA's biggest mover, sponsored by your moving company, Kevin Durant, is on the move yet again. Kevin Durant traded from the Houston Rockets to the Phoenix Suns. What implications does that have for both those teams and the NBA draft that's a little over 48 hours away? We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.